Let us open our Bibles this evening once again to Galatians chapter 3. Tonight we will be looking at verses 6 through 18. Galatians chapter 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. We looked last time at Paul's five questions in the first five verses in this chapter. He had a question in each one of those verses. He continues with the same subject, and that is of justification by faith. Justification by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we know that the opposite of justification is condemnation. That's just the opposite. We have condemnation, we have justification. Listen to these words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3. He that believeth on him, that is Christ, he that believeth on Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he that believeth on him is not condemned, then what is he? He's justified. He's justified because the opposite of condemnation is justification. I want you to notice tonight, especially in verse 11, these words, in the sight of God. In the sight of God. They especially stood out to me as I looked over these verses. Justified in the sight of God. It is relatively easy to be justified in the sight of men. Man's standards change and vary, but not God's. God's standard is absolute perfection, absolute holiness in thought and in word and in deed. Now, I would imagine that that Pharisee in our Lord's parable that he gave in Luke chapter 18, I would imagine that he was justified in the sight of men. He was certainly justified in his own sight, because you remember he prayed with himself and he thanked God that he was not as other men are. He said, I am outwardly not guilty of extortion, of unjustness, of adultery, and I fast and I give tithes of all that I possess. However, he may have been justified in his own sight and in the sight of other men who knew him. He was not justified in God's sight. And the scripture tell us, our Lord said, that he left the temple that day and went to his house unjustified. Again, he may have been justified in the sight of other men. He certainly was in his own sight, but not in the sight of God. This is where it is all important to be justified, not in the sight of men. As I said, it's relatively easy to put on a good show, to put on a good front, to be moral, to be upright in the flesh, and for others to look at us and think, well, there's a man, there's a woman, that's a believer, that's a Christian. It's easy to be justified in the sight of men, but this verse is speaking about being justified in the sight of God. When we think about being justified in his sight, think with me just a moment. Declared righteous, that's what it means. To be declared righteous by God in his sight. His sight. Remember when Isaiah was privileged with that vision of God, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, that he tells us that even the holy angels, they covered their faces in the presence of God, in the sight of God. And yet, we're talking about being justified in the sight of God, being justified in the sight of him whom the prophet Habakkuk said, "Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity." Well, the false teachers, these that we have called Judaizers in this letter of Galatians, they came among the believers here, and they would turn them away from the truth of how a person is justified, and that is by faith. They would turn them away from this teaching. And I would imagine in their appeal to these Galatians, they spoke of the things that Paul mentions here in the verses that we are looking at tonight. I would imagine that they spoke to them about Abraham, about the law, and about the covenant. And Paul deals with each of these in the passage we're looking at tonight. First, Abraham, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or imputed to him for righteousness. We may imagine that these Judaizers, they made an appeal to the Galatians to be circumcised so that they might become children of Abraham, so that Abraham might be their father. Now, we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, that Judaism, the Jewish religion, it was such that men trusted in their heritage. They trusted in the fact that they were the literal, physical descendants of Abraham. And we see this quite often in the Gospels. Let me show you a couple of examples. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Their hope and their confidence of being what we would call saved, being in a right relationship with God, it was all based on the fact that they were descended from Abraham. They were Abraham's descendants. When John the Baptist came preaching, the forerunner of Christ, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And notice here in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. Now, these were the religious elite in Israel. I mean, these were the who's who in the Jews' religion, the Pharisees especially. They were the strictest, and the Sadducees as well. And when John saw them coming to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now watch this. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. We're okay. Don't talk to us about repentance and faith, trust in the Messiah. We be Abraham's children. John said, don't you hide in that refuge, because it is a refuge of lies. Don't take cover. Don't say, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree, not just being part of the root of the tree. Abraham might be called the root. He was the father of the nation of Israel. They were all descended from him. But the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And look at another place, if you will, in John chapter 8. This time, before the Lord Jesus Christ. But the same thing is true. The same thing is true. Taking shelter, finding confidence, finding hope in the fact that they were the descendants of Abraham. In John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed. We be Abraham's seed. And were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now look down also there to verse 56. John chapter 8 and verse 56. Your father Abraham, you say that you are the children of Abraham, then do the works of Abraham. Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. Abraham, in other words, Abraham believed in Christ who was promised to come. I want you to notice especially here in this scripture in John 8, in verse 37, and we read this, but the Lord Jesus acknowledged that they were Abraham's seed. Notice that in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed. But then look in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If you were Abraham's children. He acknowledged that they were descendants of Abraham, Abraham's seed, but not his children. You see that? Not his children. In fact, we didn't read it, but he goes on to tell them their father was the devil. So the Judaizers no doubt came among the Galatians, and they appealed to them to be circumcised, submit to the rite of circumcision, and thus become a child of Abraham. But now notice back in our text, Paul declares how it was that Abraham was justified in the sight of God. It was not by circumcision. It was not by any works that he did. He believed God. And Christ, as we saw, Christ said that he saw his day and rejoiced. Notice in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It was imputed to him. And it was not his faith. It wasn't his faith that was imputed unto him. It wasn't his faith that was counted unto him for righteousness. And this is brought out very clearly in Romans chapter 4. Because some people would tell us that it was his faith. But no, it wasn't his faith. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 20, we read concerning Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. He's not talking about Abraham's faith being imputed unto him, because the same thing that was imputed unto Abraham is imputed unto us if we believe. Notice that. But for us also this was written, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now back to Galatians. Who are the children of Abraham? If that was something that these Judaizers told the Galatians, you want to be a child of Abraham, then submit to circumcision. But who are the children of Abraham? Well, Paul tells us, doesn't he, in verse 7. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, those who believe in Christ, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Those who trust in Christ, they're the children of Abraham. And also in Romans 4 and verse 16, he said, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is, now listen, who is the father of us all. To be a child of Abraham is to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Gentiles being saved in the same way as Abraham is not a new doctrine. They might accuse Paul of preaching some new doctrine. Paul said, no, this is not a new doctrine. Look here in Galatians 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that is the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. In Christ, in his seed, shall all nations be blessed. This is not a new teaching, a new doctrine, Paul says. God, if you look in the book of Genesis, you will see that God declared this three times to Abram. Three times he told him, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Once he told it to his son Isaac, and once he told it to his grandson Jacob. But the covenant that God made with Abraham, in thee, in thy seed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You look at Revelation chapter 5, and you see that there are those there that Christ has redeemed out of every tongue and nation and people of all nations of the earth. You know, it seems to be part of man's depravity. Think about this. It just seems to be part of our depravity to trust in some connection that we have with someone that we consider to be religious or to be a child of God. It just seems that's the case. You very seldom, or at least as a preacher, a preacher friend of mine, I heard him tell this story one time. He said, if I was driving through a bad neighborhood and my car broke down and the only place I could go in to use a phone was a bar, and he said, if I went in there to use their phone to call for help for my car, as soon as they found out I was a preacher in that bar, he said, I guarantee you, if I was only in there 5 minutes, I would not get out of there without someone telling me my mother was a believer. My dad was a preacher. My cousin, you know, he's very religious. It's just part of depravity. It seems to me like that we all trust in the fact that we know someone or we're kin to someone who we believe at least serves the Lord. And yet we know that our relationship to God is a personal relationship. No one can believe for me, and I cannot believe for anyone else. Each and every one of us, we must trust Christ for ourselves. Now, here's the second thing, the law. First, we looked at a few things concerning Abraham, but notice the law in verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Did the Judaizers, did they appeal to these Galatians to add to their trust in Christ, to their faith in Christ, their obedience to the work of the law? Well, the Apostle Paul states unequivocally that all, as many as are of the works of the law, are under the curse. As many as. Now, we love to use and look at those three words, don't we? Usually in a different context. As many as. Let's look at these. Turn with me to John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. And verse number 12. Well, I'll read 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And then look in John 17. John chapter 17. Verses 1 and 2, Father, the hour has come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And then in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter preaching, Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, we like to look at these verses where we see as many as in relation to salvation, in relation to Christ. But the Apostle Paul here uses these three words in relation to the law. And he tells us, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. I want you to look at these three things that Paul tells us here in this passage about the law. First, the law brings a curse and not a blessing. The law brings a curse and not a blessing. This is because the law requires perfect, absolute, universal obedience in all things, at all times, and no fallen son of Adam is able to obey. Paul said in Romans, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, our weakness, our inability, for what the law could not do. The law could not give us life. The law could not save us. The law could not justify us. For what the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and condemned sin in the flesh, in his flesh. So first of all, Paul says the law brings a curse. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. If a man or a woman seeks salvation by obedience to the law, they should know that they are under the curse. And this goes all the way back to when they entered to the land of Canaan after God had given them the law. Remember, Moses was commanded to have representatives from six of the tribes on this mountain, six of the tribes on this mountain, and these six were pronouncing blessings, these six were pronouncing curses. And it was all dependent, whether it be cursing or blessing, upon their obedience to the law. Number two, the law is not a faith. Verse 12. And the law is not a faith. It is not about believing, but doing. Yet the scripture says the just shall live by faith. One of the writers illustrated this verse by citing this scripture, which is part of Jacob's blessing to Esau. Notice the scripture as Paul quotes here, the just shall live by faith. When Jacob blessed Esau, part of his blessing was, by thy sword thou shalt live. By thy sword thou shalt live. Now, he wasn't saying Esau's going to eat his sword. That's how he's going to have life, by eating his sword. Of course not. It was by his sword that he would procure meat for himself. And the just lives by his faith, not on his faith, but by his faith, because his faith is in Jesus Christ. It's the object of faith that saves. Trouble is a portion of all who attempt to live on their faith. You know, if you try to live on your faith, you're going to have doubts and fears. You're going to be up and down just like that yo-yo, aren't you? Because our faith fluctuates. Some days we have strong faith. Some days we have weak faith. But Christ, the object of our faith, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number three, first, the law brings a curse and not a blessing upon all men. Number two, the law is not a faith, but the scripture says the just shall live by faith. And number three, the law's curse is removed by Christ's redemption. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Matthew Henry made this comment on that verse. He said, A strange method it was which Christ took to redeem us from the curse of the law. It was by him being made a curse, being made sin for us. He was made a curse for us. He was not separated from God, but upon him was laid the sins of his people. Because as the scripture says, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. Now, Paul tells us Christ died that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What is this blessing of Abraham? What is the blessing of Abraham that Christ procured by his death on the cross? It's the same blessing that Abraham enjoyed. It is being declared just before God, justified in the sight of God. It does not come through Moses. It does not come through the law. It does not come through circumcision. But it comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of Abraham comes upon the Gentiles, those who believe. What about the promise of the Spirit that we receive by faith in this verse? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I believe this has reference to our adoption, the spirit of adoption, as he will deal with in the next chapter. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Now here's the last thing, hurriedly, the covenant in verse 15. Did these Judaizers appeal to the Galatians to submit to the covenant that God made with Israel at Sinai? And remember, that's what the law was. It was a covenant. It was a covenant that God made with the nation of Israel. And it promised material blessings, physical blessings in the land of Israel, but it was all dependent upon their obedience. Now, Paul begins by showing what everyone knows is true of a man's covenant, a man's testament. Once it is confirmed, it cannot be altered. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, his testament. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, Paul says God made a covenant with Abraham and his seed containing promises. And another covenant made 430 years later cannot disannul that first covenant. The promises of the inheritance was made to his seed, which is Christ. Notice in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Most of the men that I read believe that Christ here doesn't refer to him personally, but to his body, to Christ mystical, his church, his bride who takes his name. And if you look down to verse 39, I think that makes it apparent. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. So the promises, Paul said, were made to Abraham and to his seed. That is, his chosen, those who he chose in Christ, his church. And then for those who believe it, it has reference to Christ personally, we would just say that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. All the promises. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us. Now I'll close with this warning that the Apostle John gave to those to whom he wrote his first letter. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. And no doubt among these Galatian believers, these false prophets came. And part of their attempt to turn them away from Christ was to convince them that by submitting to circumcision, they would become Abraham's children. Not so, Paul says. If they would not only have Abraham to be their father, but also the law. If they would be an Israelite, they would need to submit to the law that God gave to Israel. And not only Abraham and the law, but the covenant, if they would partake of the covenant. But Paul reminds them, the covenant of grace is a covenant that was made with Abraham before the covenant of Mount Sinai, and it cannot be disannulled. I pray the Lord will bless these words to all of us here this evening.